Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today.
Recording in progress.
I am Anand Bansal, and I will run this conference along with my colleague, Vineet. We'll wait for a moment as people join and settle in the virtual conference room. We'll start the conference in a minute. Vineet, we have 65 people with us. We can start the conference.
Sure. Thank you, Anand. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Info Edge India Limited Quarter 2 FY25 Earnings Conference Call. Joining us from management today, we have Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Founder and Vice Chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Co-Promoter and Managing Director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, Director and CFO. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention towards the detailed disclaimer included in the presentation for good order's sake. Kindly note that the conference is being recorded and all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for Q&A after the presentation concludes. Now, I will hand over the call to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Anand, and thank you, Vineet, and very good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Info Edge earnings call for the second quarter of FY25. We will start with an update on the standalone financial performance, and then we'll cover segment-wise performance and along with a commentary on every business, and followed by Q&A. For the standalone business in Q2 of FY25, billings were rupees 650 crores, a YOY growth of 14%, and revenue was rupees 656 crores, a YOY growth of 11%. Billings and revenue, including Zwayam and DoSelect, were rupees 671 crore and rupees 676 crore, a YOY growth of 15% and 12% respectively. Operating profits at a standalone level grew by 15% year-on-year to rupees 251 crore, and the operating margin expanded by 137 basis points to 38%. The standalone business generated cash from operations of rupees 262 crores in Q2 of FY25, a YOY growth of 5%. The operating profits and other income was higher in Q2 of FY25 versus Q2 of FY24. However, the net profit after taxes for the period decreased to rupees 86 crores in Q2 of FY25 as compared to rupees 209 crores in Q2 of 24 for the following reasons. As per the change in the Finance Act 25, as introduced in the recent budget, there was a hike in the effective long-term capital gains tax rate from 11.4% to 14.3%. Due to the above and in line with AS accounting standards, we have accounted for an additional deferred tax charge pertaining to previous years of rupees 260 crores in the P&L, which led to reduced net profits after taxes. On similar lines, we have also accounted for rupees 363 crore as additional deferred tax charges pertaining to previous years in other comprehensive income. Without this deferred tax charge impact pertaining to previous years, our net profits improved by 66% year-on-year to rupees 346 crores in Q2 of FY25. In H1 of FY25, for the standalone business, billings were rupees 1230 crores, a YOY growth of 13%, and revenue was rupees 1295 crores, a YOY growth of 10%. Operating profits grew by 12% year-on-year to rupees 478 crores, and operating margin expanded by 61 basis points to 37%. The recruitment, the standalone business generated cash from operations of rupees 436 crores in H1 of FY25, a YOY growth of 10%. The recruitment business generated a healthy cash of rupees 479 crores in H1 of FY25, and the cash losses in the non-recruitment business since reduced by 57% from a cash loss of rupees 76 crores in H1 of FY24 to rupees 33 crores in H1 of FY25. EPS before exceptional items and deferred taxes for earlier years for Q2 of FY25 stood at rupees 20, a YOY growth of 21%, and was rupees 38 in H1 of FY25, a YOY growth of 19%. The cash balance of InfoEdge, including those of the wholly owned subsidiaries, at the end of September 2024, stood at rupees 4,268 crore. The board has proposed an interim dividend of Rs. 12 per share, and the headcount of the company as on September 24 end was 5,820 people. Moving on to segment-wise performance, we'll first start with the recruitment business. In Q2 of FY25, billings grew by 14% to Rs. 492 crores and revenue grew by 9% to Rs. 495 crore. Revenue growth lagged behind billing growth due to the slower billings observed over the last two or three quarters. The operating profits improved by 6% year-on-year to Rs. 286 crores, and the operating profit margin was 58%. Cash generated from recruitment operations was Rs. 289 crores, a YOY growth of 8%. In H1 of FY25, for the recruitment business, billings grew by 11% to Rs. 923 crores, and revenue grew by 7% to Rs. 966 crores. The operating profit improved by 1% year-on-year to Rs. 540 crore, and the operating profit margin was 56%. Cash generated from recruitment operations was Rs. 479 crore. In our recruitment business, we saw very encouraging growth in Q2 with a 14% year-on-year increase in billings, a double-digit growth after five quarters. The growth has been widespread. Our IT segment grew by 12%, non-IT by 20%, and the recruitment consultant segment by about 10%. Key non-IT sectors like BFSI, healthcare, infrastructure, and manufacturing also saw robust double-digit growth. The JobSpeak index for Q2 of FY25 was better both on a YOY and a Q-on-Q, and on a Q-on-Q basis. The billings growth of 14% was an outcome of a slightly better macro environment, as evident in the JobSpeak index, and continued healthy performance of our niche and adjacent businesses. On the job seeker side, our Naukri platform now hosts around 103 million resumes, and app installs have reached 16 million. We have added an average of 24,500 resumes every day in Q2 of FY25, highlighting both steady engagement, user engagement across the platform. On the recruiter side, metrics like searches and CV views are also on the rise, suggesting that demand for talent is recovering. Our niche and adjacent businesses such as iimjobs, Naukri Gulf, and Naukri Fast Forward have all shown good growth in Q2 of FY25, with year-on-year billings of 40%, billings up by 40%, 18%, and 27% respectively. Zwayam and DoSelect combined also registered a billings growth of 73% on a YOY basis. Ambition Box and JobHai, which began monetization in Q4 of FY24, continue to grow and show improved performance in this quarter as well. Although still small, these businesses hold potential and could grow substantially over the next 4 or 5 years. Our employer branding solutions offered across platforms like Naukri, iimjobs, Hirist, and Ambition Box have been well received by our clients. We are working on strengthening these offerings and expanding our penetration of the market. To sum up, we are seeing good growth in the recruitment business. We saw good growth in the recruitment business, especially in the IT sector, coupled with healthy performance across our niche and adjacent businesses. We are hopeful that this positive trend will continue into the coming quarters. Moving over to the real estate segment, in Q2 of FY25, billings growth. Billings were up 16% to Rs. 107 crore, and revenue grew by 17% to Rs. 102 crore. Operating losses reduced by 14% to Rs. 14 crore. Cash losses from operations were Rs. 3 crore. In H1 of FY25, billings growth improved by 14% to Rs. 188 crore, and revenue grew by 18% to Rs. 201 crore. Operating losses reduced by 29% to Rs. 28 crore. Cash losses from operations were Rs. 22 crores versus Rs. 35 crores in H1 of FY24. For 99acres, Q2 billing growth was driven by increases in both the number of billed customers and the average billing per customer. We saw broker billings grow at a faster pace than developer billings. Live listings for new projects grew 8% year-on-year, while live resale and rental listings saw an increase of 9% in Q2. Our per listing realization among primary and secondary brokers rose year on year in Q2, led by premiumization of our offerings, and product upgrades and selective price increases implemented earlier. In 900acres, our focus remains on growing our user base, enhancing the platform experience, and delivering differentiated content that helps make users make informed real estate decisions. Moving over to the matrimony business, in Q2 of FY25, the billing growth momentum continued. Billings grew by 31% to rupees 26 crores, and revenue grew by 33% to rupees 26 crores. Operating expenses were reduced by 27% year-on-year, driven by a reduction in marketing costs by 36% year-on-year. The business is near break-even. Operating losses were reduced by 96% to rupees 70 lakhs. Cash losses rupees 2 crore, a YOY improvement of 88%. In H1 of FY25, in the matrimony business, billings grew by 33% to rupees 51 crore, and revenue also grew by 34% to rupees 52 crore. Operating losses were reduced by 92% to rupees 3 crore, and the cash loss was rupees 6 crore, a year-on-year improvement of 83%. Our business teams have continued to focus on improving monetization efforts to grow billings. Most of these initiatives are designed to add value for users on the platform while fully maintaining our commitment to a free chat experience. On the marketing front, the team has launched some campaigns to boost brand awareness and reinforce our free chat promise. We've been very frugal with our approach, reducing marketing spends by 36% year-on-year this quarter. Delivering a high-quality matchmaking experience remains a core priority. We are planning further investments to enhance our matchmaking recommendations, improving outcomes for our users. Key metrics like acceptances and two-way chats on the platform continue to show healthy growth. We are also working on expanding monetization opportunities on the platform while actively driving user acquisition as well. Moving on to the Shiksha business, in Q2 of FY25, billing was rupees 25 crores, a YOY degrowth of 3%, and revenue grew by 10% to rupees 33 crores. Operating loss was rupees 3 crores, and cash losses were 11 crores. In H1 of FY25 for Shiksha, billing was rupees 66 crore, a YOY growth of 13%, and revenue grew by 14% to rupees 75 crores. The business generated an operating profit of rupees 1 crore, and cash losses were rupees 5 crores, a year-on-year reduction of cash loss by 9%. The campus placement season for FY25 for graduates has begun on a positive note compared to last year. There is an slight increase in demand for both MBA and computer science programs. Private universities are continuing to broaden their offerings beyond engineering, providing students with more diverse options to choose from. We are investing in making our content even more comprehensive and student-friendly while building deep domain expertise in this space. Shiksha's traffic share reached an all-time high of 56% as of September 2024. The domestic Shiksha business grew by 21% on a year, has been growing by 21% on a year-on-year basis in H1 of FY25. On the study abroad business, though we are seeing some headwinds, tighter restrictions for international students in Australia and Canada, along with fewer job opportunities post-study, have led to a decline in interest. Despite these challenges, we remain committed to making long-term investments to strengthen our study abroad platform and improve the productivity of our counseling team. I would now like to talk a little bit about AI-driven innovation at InfoEdge. Today, we have a dedicated team of over 100 data scientists and machine learning engineers at InfoEdge. We have been using machine learning to enhance our search, our matching, our personalization capabilities, and recommendation systems across all our businesses to improve user productivity and experience. In many of the cases, this has led to a 10, 20, 25% gain in efficiency. And with the latest sort of in generative AI, we are now using LLM models to develop new features, build new products, and increase productivity across the board. Let me just give you a few examples. For job seekers now, we have an AI-powered mock interview product on Naukri 360 that helps them prepare for interviews. It is being used by 10 lakh users. In the Naukri Fast Forward business, we have largely automated resume creation using AI. and our AI engine can generate a customized cover letter based on the uploaded resume. These features are now being used by over 15 lakh users every month. At Zwayam, AI helps create job descriptions and analyze candidate profiles, which improves recruiter productivity. In DoSelect, AI helps us generate multiple choice questions for e-assessments. These are just a few examples. At InfoEdge today, there are over 500 models across AI and machine learning that are driving new products, features, and enhancements that are helping us deliver more value to our users and our customers every day. Moving on to the consolidated financial highlights. At the consolidated levels, the net sales for the company stood at rupees 701 crore in Q2 of FY25 versus rupees 626 crores for Q2 of FY24. At the consolidated entity level, the total comprehensive income stands at rupees 8,170 crores in Q2 of FY25 compared to rupees 3,399 crore in Q2 of FY24. Profit after tax without exceptional items in Q2 of FY24 was rupees 335 crores. Profit before tax without exceptional items in Q2 of FY25 was rupees 335 crores compared to rupees 262 crores in Q2 of FY24. To summarize, we are truly excited about the growth opportunities across all our businesses. After several quarters of soft demand, our recruitment business is now performing well with growth across all segments, IT, non-IT, and consultants. The October 2024 JobSpeak report was also promising, showing a YoY increase of 10%. To diversify and grow our overall client base, we've been expanding in the GCC and non-IT sectors by strengthening our go-to-market offerings and acquiring new clients, particularly by increasing our reach in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. Our niche and adjacent businesses like IIMJobs, NaukriGulf, Hirist, Naukri Fast Forward, Zwayam, DoSelect, AmbitionBox, and JobHey are showing good results and continue to expand growth opportunities and the total time for us. Our non-recruitment businesses are also growing well and are on the verge of becoming self-sustaining. In 99acres, we are focused on growing our user base, enhancing the platform, and delivering content for informed real estate decisions supported by, and the market continues to be supportive. There continue to be new launches and prices continue to go up. Jeevansathi's shift to freemium model has proven effective, driving both top line growth and bringing the business closer to break even. Shiksha's domestic business continues to grow steadily and is already profitable. Across all our businesses, we are making progress in AI and machine learning deployment. As mentioned earlier, these technologies are being used to improve the search and recommendation experience and are also helping us drive driving the development of new features and products. This progress has improved user engagement and experience while enhancing productivity and efficiency for both job seekers and customers. A major strength in navigating these cycles has been our consistent cash generation and healthy cash balance. We are continually assessing the best ways to use this cash to maximize shareholder returns. Thank you. I'll stop here, and we are now ready to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Hitesh. Anand, we can now start taking questions.
Yeah. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks, Hitesh. The first question is from Nitin Jain from Fairview Investment. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question. Nitin, you are there?
Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. And my first question is on the margins. So we can see that the margins have improved by about 400 basis points QOQ. So I have a two-part question linked to this. Like regarding the marketing spends in the recruitment business, are we still continuing with the new marketing campaign for Naukri? And can we see margins improve in this business further from here? My next question is for... my next question is also on the recruitment business. So now that the hiring market seems to be doing better, you know, compared to 2-3 quarters back, how are we thinking about inorganic growth in this business? And if you could also share the number, like the Naukri Gulf contribution in the recruitment business revenue. Thank you.
So Let me answer your first question about margins. See, if top line continues to grow at 14-15% per annum, the margin should get better going forward. How much are we going to spend on marketing? We decide on a quarter-on-quarter basis. We don't sort of have a budget for the year. We spent on IPL, then we took Q2, we didn't spend as much. And in Q3 also, it's not, we don't have a very big budget for marketing, but we'll decide for, as far as Q4 is concerned, we'll decide after Q3. Regarding inorganic, see, we have a lot of opportunities we are pursuing in the recruitment space. Like I mentioned, there's a core business which is now growing faster than earlier. Besides the core Naukri business, we have we've acquired over 7-8 startups in the last few years, and we are now in the process of scaling them. IIMJobs, Hirist, Do Select, Zwayam, Naukri Gal, Fast Forward, the Naukri, so there are a whole a job here, which is our blue collar business. So we're not looking to sort of course, we keep evaluating opportunities, but we're not looking to sort of acquire anything in the near term as far as the recruitment business is concerned. We will continue to invest very aggressively in AI. We've been seeing very good results. And that's again, that's opened up a whole sort of new area of opportunity for us. So AI sort of not and traditional AI, which is basically more machine learning, and now generative AI. We are working on developing a lot of new features and new products. That's the current plan. Job Hai, we'll continue to sort of invest behind. We started monetizing Job Hai in Q1. We are encouraged with what we've seen, and we'll continue to press the pedal on Job Hai also going forward. So that's the plan for the next few months. If you'd asked me what was the plan for the next 2 years, 2 years back, I wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have said this. We didn't see, for example, the big opportunity that we are now seeing in AI, right? And the kind of impact it's having on our sort of metrics. So our AI team has actually grown from 20 people to 100 people over the last 2-3 years. And that's something we'll continue to invest in. So let's see how things evolve.
Thanks. That was helpful. And just on the contribution of Naukri Gulf to the recruitment business revenue.
So it's still a tiny part of our business. I think this year, Naukri Gulf will end up doing about a little more than 100 crores.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Nitin. The next question is from Nikhil Chaudhary from Nuvama. Nikhil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on solid number. Hitesh, after a long time, we have delivered on all metrics, revenue, billing, as well as margin. So starting with billing first, if I remember correctly, Hitesh, you have mentioned a few quarters back that let's say if IT billing start touching double digit, it help, generate buoyancy in overall ecosystem, and we can touch 20% type of billing growth. I know we have already reached mid-teen types of growth. JobSpeak continue to remain very strong. So are we headed to 20%? And do you see any risk of our ability to, let's say, see accelerated growth going forward? Like we've seen some slowdown in BFSI. We are seeing some negative commentary there. So just want to understand, in terms of, can we see further acceleration here?
So see, we had a tough 5 or 6 quarters, and we've grown in double digits, maybe after 5 quarters of low single digit growth. October was not bad. October job speak looks good despite Diwali being in October this time. So we are hoping that this momentum will continue at least for some more time. It's very hard to predict what's going to happen 3 months down the line or 6 months down the line. There are so many sort of there's so much uncertainty in the world around us. So it's very hard to say what's going to happen. But like I've said earlier, see, IT companies have built up a big bench, and the utilization rates had fallen. Over the last 5 or 6 quarters, that the utilization rates are now back to what they used to be before COVID. The non-IT markets continue to sort of do well. Not the you know and we press the pedal on a lot of our new products over the last few months. You know, so we've our what we call internally what we call our strategic sort of product portfolio businesses like IIM Jobs, Hirist, the Naukri branding, Naukri and Ambition Box branding, Zwayam, Do Select. You know, these sort of products grew by, you know, collectively this whole piece grew by about 50% for us last quarter. So but fingers crossed. You know, we 5 quarters of very low growth, but 1 good quarter. Hopefully this will sustain. And you know, we've set a higher target than 14% for Q3, because our billing growth in Q2 was 14%. So we set a higher target than that for Q3. Let's see. We'll be in a better position to sort of comment on this maybe 3 months down the line.
Sure. Understood. Hitesh, if you can, maybe it's too early, but quantify how big will be this strategic investment, or maybe the, you know, early AI revenue you are, or monetization you are doing.
So see, there are many use cases for AI. You know, like I mentioned, we are deploying a lot of AI to improve our search experience, to improve our recommendations, to personalize our platforms a lot more than earlier. And the results are very encouraging. And we are doing this in all our verticals, in Naukri, in Jeevansathi, and now in 99acres as well. And everywhere we are, and wherever we are deploying AI, you know, we are getting a 10-20% kicker. So on satisfaction levels and on user experience metrics and so on and so forth. We're using AI to build data products. So we have a small data products business now in Naukri. It's a tiny business, but you know, helps us build our brand. Gives us access to CHROs, and it generates you know, interesting insights for example, for you know, the recruitment teams, you know, regarding sourcing strategies, regarding salaries, regarding their peer set, and so on and so forth. So so we're building new products using AI, and now we are now beginning to monetize them. AI is of course going to almost every new feature which is being developed, or every new innovation inside Info Edge now, right? So there are lots of things which are being powered by AI. We are now, for example, just now, you know, I think it's live. We're experimenting with what we internally call Shiksha GPT, so a chatbot on Shiksha, right? Shiksha is a counseling and content and counseling platform. It's got a lot of content, so it's not easy to navigate for students. So we had a chatbot earlier on Shiksha, but the satisfaction levels of users were low. You know, but with this, with now it's now being powered by AI, by LLMs, and the satisfaction levels have shot up, right, as a result. So so AI is being deployed in a lot of new features are being powered by AI. And of course, we have very aggressive plans on how to sort of use even more AI going forward to, you know, one, enhance the experience, to improve productivity inside the company in every part of the organization. Three, to build new features. And 4, to build new products.
Sure, Hitesh. Thank you so much for a detailed answer. Next one is on real estate side. We have seen jump in website visit and, you know, time spent on housing.com. So is it early indication of increase in competition?
Housing has been spending aggressively for many years now, and the competition with housing continues to be sort of intense. There's not much change on that front. It's things are like they were a year ago or 2 years ago. We continue to sort of work on improving our experience. We continue to work on improving our offerings. You know, like I said, and they continue to work on their stuff. There's been no change on that front, right? So. Our performance has improved actually over the last few quarters. The 99, if we are able to grow the 99acres business by, let's say, 20% or 18% in the second half of this year, then for the year as a whole, 9 acres will actually, you know, be close to breaking even, right? So that's what we are targeting. Let's see what happens going forward.
Sure, Hitesh. Last one on margin, while you have partially already answered that, but you know, while this quarter we were expecting margin improvement because of one-time branding exercise last quarter, but the margin improvement was anyway better than our expectation. And you in past have called out that, let's say, if you deliver 15% type of revenue growth, then you will be able to sustain and improve the margin. So is it fair to say the peak or of investment pace, or maybe, you know, bottoming out of margin has happened and margin will largely remain stable to, let's say, improving trajectory?
So like I've always said, see, if you are able to grow at 15%, we can maintain margin. If we end up growing at more than 15%, we'll be able to improve margin. And if we end up growing at between 10 and 15%, we'll have to play with some things to sort of maintain margin. We are seeing a lot of opportunity to, you know, grow faster in some of the new things that we are doing, right? We are not margin driven in that sense. So we focus on top line, and we, of course, are frugal when it comes to spending, and we spend on the right things. But at the same time, we don't want to starve any business or any department, you know, for funding if they have good ideas. So that's how we operate, right? And as far as marketing spends go, we decide on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Got it, Hitesh. Thanks a lot. Helpful as usual, and good luck for coming period.
Thank you, Nikhil. Next question is from Nikhil. Vijit Jain from Citi. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thanks, Anand. Hi, Chintan. Hi, Vineet. Hi, Hitesh. Hi, Sanjeev. I just have one question on the property segment. You know, you've started to provide these disclosures around, you know, the split between brokers, builders, and consumers on both number of customers and the billings number. Just wanted to get a sense of if there are any pricing actions that you're specifically doing within these categories differently. Because if I just look at the trends in terms of billings per customer, there seems to be a fair bit of fluctuation. I mean, looks like brokers have gone up, builders have gone up, but customers have gone down, or owners have gone down. So I'm just trying to get a sense of what you're trying to, you know, change into in this segment.
Is your question regarding pricing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to understand if you're playing with the pricing you charge owners, builders, brokers differently now versus, let's say, earlier, and is that a part of some kind of a strategy here?
See, we have a resale business, and we have a new home business, and we have a owner business, and the offerings are different for different businesses, right? Our broker business has been growing faster than our developer business, right? Mm. And you know, we've launched different sort of listing offerings for brokers over the last 12-18 months. Offerings which are, so there are regular options and there are premium options, and I think our pricing has moved up as far as brokers go, because of that, because a lot of brokers have moved to premium offerings over time. Mm-hmm. The owner business is a tiny part of the overall business. So while we end up working with a lot of owners, per owner, we don't make a lot of revenue. And the model for owners is actually freemium. So they can actually post listing for free, and only a small percentage end up paying us. On the developer side, see, no, we have two kinds of offerings. There are standard listing products, and there's a CPL model also, on cost per lead model also, on which we work with some developers. Mm-hmm. Pricing in 99acres, actually we use a lot of analytics, every quarter we look at how much response we deliver to our clients, what competition is charging, how much property prices have moved up, and we sort of review prices and revise them every few months. And we don't have one price for nationally. We have city wise pricing in 99acres. So our pricing is different in different cities, right?
Okay.
So it's not like So I don't know. I mean, at a macro level, I think our pools are moving up. The number of customers have moved up. Listings are moving up. But at a city level, there could be wide variations.
Got it. Thanks, Adish. Adish, my second question is on the recruitment business. I can see that within that, within the billings growth, both realizations and the customer base both are improving sequentially for the last couple of quarters. And I note that you obviously highlight Zwayam, DoSelect, AmbitionBox, some of these new initiatives doing better than the overall number. But your split of revenue doesn't seem to have moved much over the years, right? It's still 68% resume database. So I'm just trying to get a sense of how the revenue split between things like resume database, candidate services, and others get influenced as these newer initiatives do better. And why doesn't shouldn't for example the share of resume database start to meaningfully go down as these other initiatives are doing better?
Sure, it's come down over the years, over the last 4 or 5 years. See, we have the core Naukri business. In the core Naukri business, there's database access revenue, there is listing revenue, and there is branding revenue. Then we have a Naukri Gulf business. Then we have resume fast candidate services business. We have these we have iimjobs, and we have Job Hai, and we have Zwayam and DoSelect. Now, these businesses, when we acquired them, were tiny. 4 or 5 years ago, they were all in the revenue range of 10, 15, 17 crores. And they've grown substantially over the last 3, 4, 5 years, they're still tiny, right, in the grand scheme of things. Now, Naukri Gulf, like I mentioned, is about 100 crores plus. The Fast Forward business, about 130, 140 crores, in that ballpark. Zwayam, DoSelect, and others may add up to another, maybe a couple of 100 crores, right? So I'm sure the RegTech share in total revenue has sort of fallen by a few percentage points. But these businesses today are still small, but they're growing fast. So, and if they continue to grow at at, let's say, double the rate of the core Naukri business or slightly more than that, then RegTech share and revenue will fall over time.
All right, perfect. Thanks, Satish. Thanks, everyone. Those are my questions.
Yeah, thanks, Rajit. Next question is from Vivek from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, my first question is on the recruitment business. Non-IT is doing quite well and growing at a healthy pace. It has been the case for a while now. So, Hitesh, could you talk about the pricing trends, especially on the Naukri ResDex side for non-IT customers versus IT customers, and how to think about price hikes for the non-IT segment? That's question one. Second, you spoke about meaningful revenue contribution from AmbitionBox, Job Hai. Is there a way you are looking at TAM or the revenue opportunity in these businesses? How to think about that better for all of us who are looking at the business in the long run? Thank you.
Let me answer your second question first. See, we've just started monetizing AmbitionBox and Job Hai. So right now, revenue is tiny, right? But if you're able to grow these businesses at a rapid rate, rapid pace going forward, then of course they can become meaningful over time. So right now they are very, very small. I mean, Job Hai was free till 2 quarters back, and we've Q1 and Q2 together are maybe a couple of the revenue is like 2 crores or less, right? But we've got a lot of traffic, we're getting a lot of traction, and we are now pressing the pedal on monetization. Let's see how that moves. AmbitionBox also, we just started monetizing, right? The year one of monetization, it was free for several years. I think we acquired AmbitionBox almost 7 years ago. So we've worked on building the product, and now we are at a stage where we think we can start sort of monetizing it a little bit. But over time, these businesses may become meaningful. Unlikely that they will become meaningful in the next 2 or 3 years, given that the rest of the portfolio is also growing rapidly. But they're strategic from a long-term standpoint. Your second question was regarding pricing, right? First question was regarding pricing. See,
not IT specifically.
Yeah. So, see, our business model is we charge per listing for job listings. We have branding solutions where we charge for impressions and so on. And for on the database side, we charge we have a standard we have a base price, and then we charge on the basis of the number of emails you send and the number of resumes you view and so on and so forth. So our model is the same for both IT and non-IT. It's just that the IT companies sort of end up using us a lot more, and they were hiring a lot of people from and therefore our our pools and from IT customers are higher. The sh our share of hiring as far as IT customers grow is much higher than our share of hiring for non-IT customers even today. Though those numbers are moving up, but so the model is the same. So and for the because our business was slow for the last few quarters, we haven't sort of really taken any price increase. So what you're seeing is or at least for the last few quarters, there was no, and Chintan, correct me if I'm wrong, there was no real pricing growth, price-led growth, right?
Yeah, there is nothing very so significant to call it out.
Yeah.
Okay, extending this question a little bit. So you're saying that the model is the same whether it's IT or non-IT in terms of, let's say, number of emails or CV views. So does this mean that you are charging the same amount of money, let's say, to hire someone with 5 years of, or the resume of someone with 5 years of Java experience versus the resume of, say, someone in entry bank sales with 2 years experience? So my question is that the pricing is on volume basis without looking at quality of resume, is it?
Well, yes, that's the current business model. You say we clients buy, it's on the basis, it's, there's a base price, and then we charge per login, and then on top of that we charge for number of emails and number of CVs viewed and so on and so forth. And in the core data, as far as the core database offering is concerned. And then of course there's a negotiation across the table with customers. So what ends up happening is that we discount a lot less with IT customers than with non-IT customers because IT customers end up realizing more value through the platform. That's how it works out in practice.
Okay. Going forward, do you think it is possible to introduce a pricing model where you are able to charge, let's say, much more for a CV or for candidates who get hired who are very high value to organizations versus, say, entry level or let's say candidates who are easier to find? And what would that entail?
So you see, we don't actually get to know how many people get hired through us, right? What we can track is the number of emails that you send, the CVs that you viewed, right, on our platform. And of course, we use a lot of analytics to understand how much value the customer is getting out of Naukri. But this is a model, right? So we, and there's an accuracy level of every model. We have this analytics, we have this data, and like I said, when we use it to determine or to estimate the value that we are creating for our customers, and we equip the sales team with this data, and when we meet customers to for to sort of for to sell and negotiate with them, we share this data with them. This is also available to them, right? And then we try and sort of and then there's a negotiation post that, right? So some of this stuff is taken into account while negotiating, and customers also understand, we also understand. But we don't have any way of actually knowing how many people got hired through us, right? So that makes it a little tricky. Now, can we move to a model where which is a credit-based model where depending on which CV you view, different number of credits are consumed. Theoretically, yes. And we've given it some thought, but it's not on the anvil at this point in time.
Thanks for the elaborate answers. All the
Thanks, Vivek. Next question from Dipanshu Rathi. He is an individual investor. Dipanshu, go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you listen again? I'm audible, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Desh, hi, Sanjeev. So my question is how the ARPUs have changed, the average ticket size have changed over the years for the core business, for the core recruitment business. And first question is this. Second question is, in my core recruitment business, we talk about the database access, we talk about the resumes and learnings and etc. So what pie the database access holds and what pie the learning business, the resume business holds?
Sorry, I don't understand the second question. What... How big
so
is the
database includes my database business includes database core business includes database access, resumes, and I believe the other components must be there, right?
So no, database access, resume access, the same thing.
Resume access. Okay, so my first question holds now. How the ARPUs have changed over the pricing thing have changed over the period, and what are the general basis? So yeah.
Chintan, you want
Vinith, you have these numbers in already available ARPU number.
Yeah, I'm just putting it on. Yeah. So Dipanshu, if you look at this page, so we disclose this on like for a full year basis. This is how our number of clients have gone up, right? And the how billings have gone up, and in relation to that, how the ARPU has gone up over the years. So in FY22, it was 86,000 per client, which went up to 111,000. In FY23 and was 113,000 in FY24.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dipanshu. Next question is from Omkar from Barclays Investment. Omkar, go ahead and ask your question. Omkar, you are there?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so two questions from my side, both on 99acres. So firstly, if we look at the total number of listings on 99acres right now, they are the same as we had them pre-COVID, possibly 5-10% higher. So with the increased scale of operations and what you've seen in the real estate industry, I'd expected this number to be a lot higher. Why would that be the case that this number is low?
See, could be two, three things. One is obviously, of course, we've upped our prices, and when you up prices, you end up losing some customers at the bottom of the funnel. And second, I think, you know, the real estate market has been solid for the last, you know, maybe a couple of years now, right? Mm-hmm. And in a good market, it's easier to sell property, right? Sometimes in a tough market, it could take you 6 months to sell a house, 8 months to sell a house. In a good market, you can actually, you know, get done in like 2 months, or sometimes even a month. So that also makes a difference. I don't have all the detail, but these are the fact. These could be the factors at work.
Okay, and how do we see this number going forward?
I have no way. I mean, I have no idea because also see the other thing you must keep in mind is that we have buy listings, we have rental listings, we have commercial listings. Sometimes, you know, buy listings may go up, rental listings may go down. We run various kinds of offers from time to time for our clients. That sometimes also impacts the number of listings we get on our platform. I think right at this point in time, the number of listings on the platform are up 8% year on year. That's the number I got. Mm. How will this number move going forward? Hard for me to say.
Okay. And in terms of monetization of these listings, so pre-COVID, so right now it's around 65-66%, I guess. Pre-COVID, we also had similar numbers, paid listings as percentage of total listings. Yeah. This has decreased during COVID and increased. So this is also due to the pricing thing. That
no,
you
see,
said.
Our model, business model is that it's free for owners to list. Brokers have to pay if they want to list properties on our platform. So this ratio is a function of how many broker listings you get versus how many own listings you get on our platform.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Omkar. There is a repeat follow-up question from Nitin Jain. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question from Fairview Investment.
Yeah, thanks again. So just on the backdrop of, you know, a good scale-up in Naukri Gulf, would you be inclined to explore any other geographies at this point in time?
The bulk of our business comes from the UAE, and we have a tiny business in countries like Qatar, Bahrain, Oman. Saudi, we do some business, but we don't have a physical presence in Saudi. We have a physical presence in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi. This business has been growing at 18-20% for us for the last few quarters now, and is now profitable. As of now, there is no plan to sort of expand into or grow into more countries. We will continue to focus on the UAE and some others, like I said, on Bahrain, Qatar, Oman, for the next few quarters at least.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Nitin. Next question from Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Amit, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So you mentioned about the benefits we are seeing from the like AI tools that we have implemented. So you know, just want to understand, is there any like differential pricing also that we are charging from clients for this AI offering, or is it only for you know, the customer or for the like resume or for the you know, like person who's getting hired? And also in terms of investments, how to see the investments that are going into this AI? Maybe in the initial years, it's in the investment phase, but over the longer run, can we see you know, the higher margins coming out of you know, the investment that we are making here?
As of now, we are not charging extra for AI features, you know, at least in our core offering. We are using AI to improve the experience for both job seekers and recruiters on our platform in Naukri, and for both and for the people who list on Jeevan Sathi. You know, and we believe that if we improve the experience for them, more people will get hired through us, or more matches will get made through us, and in the end we will realize value somewhere, right? So that's our that's how we are sort of currently using AI. We have launched some new products using AI, like I said, we launched a mock interview offering in our resume fast forward business, right? You know, candidate services business, where, you know, you can upload your resume and the AI will sort of help you prepare for the interview, helps you prepare for the interview. And that's a paid offering, but it's tiny right now. We're not monetizing it very aggressively. And we are, of course, using AI to build new features. Like, for example, you know, AI, we're using AI to create content. We are using AI to help you know, recruiters write better job descriptions. We are, you know, in a bunch of places, right? So that's where we think, where things are today. We are constantly thinking of how to create new revenue pools using AI. One area where we have made progress is the data products. Some of the data products that we've launched in Naukri, Talent Pulse, Competition Pulse. You know, we get some revenue from these offerings, which we now sort of make available to HR departments of companies. But early days here. You know, so we've been using machine learning for many years now. LLMs are, of course, new, and we're learning how to deploy, you know, use LLMs also to improve the experience. Like, we just launched a Shiksha GPT, you know, a chatbot on Shiksha using LLMs to sort of enhance the user experience for our users. But that's also free right now, right? So we're not charging for it. AI will continue to be a major area of investment for Info Edge. In fact, we want to double down on our AI investments. You know, and I think we will realize value very quickly. You know, the value of from these investments, we will realize them. We will realize the value very quickly. It's not as if it's going to be a very long gestation period. Of course, the new products that we, you know, if we build some brand new products using AI, now those products will have to be tested. They'll have to be taken to market. The revenue model will have to be figured out over time. So there, of course, there'll be a lag between the investments we make and you know, the sales we get. But on our core platform, wherever we are deploying AI, we are seeing very healthy ROI already.
Okay. And also, if you can highlight, you know, like whether the AI is also being used in the same manner in other platforms like 99acres and like Jeevansathi, as we are like using it in the core recruitment platform, or is it like too early, or we are like
it's already being deployed in Jeevansathi and in 99acres as we speak, and even in Shiksha. Of course, Naukri is a much bigger business, so 70-80% of all our AI effort or all our goes into Naukri. But the other businesses are also benefiting tremendously from AI already.
Okay. And you mentioned that we have scaled the AI workforce to around 100. So is there any like number or plans in the near term? Is it all the investment in terms of people are done, or we need to...
No. We are investing in... We are hiring machine learning engineers. We are hiring data scientists. We are hiring AI strategists. We are deploying AI tools. We are leveraging LLMs. We are soon going to be buying GPUs. So these investments will... I've just started, you know. So AI is, I think, and AI is also changing. I mean, developing very rapidly, right? I mean, things are changing very fast in the AI world. So these investments, you know, as long as we're getting great ROI, which we already are, like I said, you know, we will continue to invest more and more in AI.
Okay. And on the like Matrimony platform, obviously we have seen quite good development there in terms of billings, and also the losses have reduced. So how to see it from here on, whether it will be profitable like next year, like meaningfully profitable, or we want to operate it at the break-even level? And also some of the initiatives that you have taken have actually worked well in terms of the change in strategy. So is it going to be the same status quo, or are we planning something else there?
In Matrimony, we were losing 100 crores plus a year 2 years ago, and we are hoping to get to break even this year, or close to break even this year. That was our goal. We haven't really given it too much thought on what we're going to do going forward. The model seems to be working. The product innovation is solid. AI is helping. So if we get to break even this year, or close to breaking even this year, and we're also working on smart monetization, because we went free, you know, and for a while our revenue took a big hit, and now we're trying to get revenue back. Once we get to break even, then we'll apply our mind again to what next in Matrimony.
Okay, Tesh. Thank you, and all the best. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Amit.
Hitesh, there is one question in the chat. I just read it out.
Yeah.
So the revenue per... So this is from Deepak. The revenue per unique customer in recruitment solutions business since last 4-5 quarters is hovering around ₹58,000 to 60,000 on a quarterly basis. With IT now gradually recovering higher ARPU, can ₹60,000 be considered as floor from here, or would incremental customer acquisition will be partly discounted?
We see when we acquire new customers, they don't, the ARPUs are lower, right? Because most customers start small, and then and if the results are good, then they upgrade over time. And of course, a lot of the customers we acquire are small as well, customers as well. So for new customer acquisition, ARPUs are normally very low, right? Now, as far as existing customers go, we are in a difficult market, in a slow market. It's hard to up prices, right? So what we are doing right now is trying to sell more products to them. Like I said, we have a whole bouquet of offerings. We try and sell more and more products to them, and that's how we get higher billing from them. In a hot market, when hiring becomes very hard, And consultants also up their prices, and you know it's very hard to get talent. Attrition goes, numbers go up. Then that allows us to up prices, right? And that's what we saw maybe 2 years ago. You know, when we had the great resignation and hiring was hard and attrition rates doubled in almost every company, we were able to up our prices. But for the last 6 quarters, it's been hard for us to even, you know, maintain the same price. So a lot will depend on the hiring environment going forward as far as pricing is concerned. The new products we'll keep pushing because penetration there is low. And there's a lot of opportunity to get new customers for the new products in our portfolio.
And also, Hitesh, one should look at it on an annual basis and quarterly, because quarter four, like seasonally, we record strong billings. So then this number like suddenly shoots up. So yeah, one should also look at on an annual basis, like this.
Right.
So the quarterly trend.
Yeah, so that was the last question, Vinith, we had for the day. Okay. In case any more questions, please raise your hand. No, there are none.
Okay. Thank you everyone for joining. On behalf of InfoEdge, we conclude this conference call. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great evening. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you so much, everyone. We conclude this call.